Have your Bibles with you this morning, and you want to turn there. We'll be taking some scripture out of the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 2. And also, if you want to, be finding John chapter 3. And of course, Luke chapter 2 here, of course, contains the actual story of the birth of Jesus Christ and the arrival of the Savior. And of course, that's not, hopefully, not wasted on us this morning for the season that it is, that Christmas is but a week away from us at this particular point. But what I want to look at in particular on this morning is in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. And this is when that the heavenly host comes to the shepherds in the field. And for many years, and lack of education on my end, I never understood the significance of this, you know, of the angels coming to the shepherds. And, you know, that at this particular point in the culture of the area, that, you know, shepherds weren't exactly model citizens in society. They weren't viewed as high up. They weren't even allowed to testify in court. So they were not the highest echelon of society or anything. They were actually kind of on the low end of the spectrum. And it's interesting that God would choose to reveal it to them. And the thing is that we know that God chooses the weak and the downtrodden and the outcast and things like that to actually demonstrate His glory and His power. But what I really want to minister on this morning is that Jesus Christ, he, this child coming into this world, and what we do on Christmas, we give each other gifts and all that. And of course, you know, I grew up with the cheesy 1980s and 90s sitcoms, and they would talk about the true meaning of Christmas and all this. And they would say, well, it's about togetherness and family and all that. Well, having been somebody raised in church, I would always, you know, kind of push my glasses up and say, well, actually what it's about is it's about the birth of Jesus Christ. And the gift was the gift of the Messiah, the one who would reconcile us to God. And in John chapter 3, which we'll turn to shortly, one of the things that Jesus, one word that Jesus uses, and I want you to keep it in the forefront of your mind, is whosoever. You see, because when Jesus said that, when He said whosoever, it wasn't exclusive, it was inclusive. And, you know, in this day and time, they love to talk about inclusive language and all that. And I've been to several professional developments as a teacher and them telling us to be inclusive and all that. But I can tell you that there's nothing more inclusive than the salvation through Jesus Christ that came into this world this particular day. And so we'll start reading at verse 8 in Luke chapter 2. And this, of course, takes place right after it is that the actual birth of Jesus Christ happened. And it says in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Now I want you to consider in this moment, this was business as usual. This was their job. Now you imagine being at your job doing things, and it's just another one of those days. It's just like any other day. And that's the way that these shepherds were. They were doing their job. They were keeping watch. They were tending the flocks. And that everything was just business as usual until something different happens. And it says in verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were sore afraid." Now you can imagine if you're working at your job, if you're doing what you're paid to do, and then all of a sudden it is that this thing, that its glory shows up, and the glory of God begins to shine down around about you, how that you might feel. And then you might look around and say, "Is everybody else seeing this, or am I the only one? Is there something wrong with me?" And it says now that the glory of the Lord was revealed to them, and it showed all about them. Now I can tell you that says something about these people that were here on this hillside, that I don't find them. I have no reason to believe that they weren't good people. In fact, I would say that they were some of the ones that were waiting and looking for the day when the Messiah would come into this world. Because if you find just a few verses on down, a man by the name of Simeon, and who it was that the Holy Spirit revealed to him,
said, Simeon, you'll not die before that you see the Messiah that he was going to get to be able to see the consolation of Israel. And so the angels show up to these guys, kind of minding their own business. And then notice now, and any time an angel shows up, they always have to look at him and say, don't be afraid. Everything's all right. I imagine that they were quite the sight to see. And it says now in verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just some, not just a select group, but it says to all people, for whosoever will, for whosoever will believe upon Him, that you could draw a line straight from that verse to John 3:16, in which that it says that God sent His Son into this world, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And it all starts right here. The angel of the Lord said, it's for all people. Glad tidings and great joy. And when's the last time that we felt this way about our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ? That we've looked around and said, man, what a blessed person that I am to know that I have this in Christ. And then most importantly, when's the last time you shared it? When's the last time you told somebody, taste and see, try this out. This is good stuff right here. That Jesus Christ has come to save you from your sins. They go on and say in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now why is this significant? Because it had been 400 years since there had been any prophet, since there had been any revelation. And unknown to these shepherds, the Lord had prophesied through Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. The Lord had told him, this is the kind of guy that he's going to be. We ministered on that a couple of weeks ago, how that Zacharias, the angel come to him, he said, God's heard your prayer. Your wife is going to conceive a son. And Zacharias had a little trouble believing it. But if you know the remainder of that story, you know that Zacharias bought in when it come time to name the boy. And they were saying, well, we'll name him after his father. And Zacharias couldn't speak. But it said that when the time came, he was able to tell them, his name is John. Not it ought to be, could be, or should be. But God Himself had named that boy. And he knew that if God had a plan and a purpose, that who would we be to stand in the way of it? And all of this has taken place, and these shepherds that had been silent for 400 years. There was no divine revelation. There was no occurrence of God revealing Himself to the nation of Israel. And then here it's a bunch of shepherds on a hillside that God visits. And a very poor Jewish man and woman named Joseph and Mary, and Zacharias and Elizabeth. And those were the only ones. But now it says that all are going to know. All are going to behold. All are going to see. And it's for all people, this Savior. And then notice what it says. In verse 12 it says, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Verse 13, and suddenly there was an angel. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I've heard this a lot throughout my life. I notice it's not mentioned a whole lot these days in our modern era of not Christmas not being exclusively a Christian holiday, but rather a holiday, you know, for all religions and all this. But I thought about that verse when I was a kid, and I heard it a lot. And, you know, it says, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And then I remembered thinking, really? On earth is peace? You look around, and you don't have to look far to see wars and things like that taking place. And, you know, I always puzzled at that. And I thought, well, I guess maybe at the time, and that was a particularly unique time. But as the Apostle Paul said, you know, when I was a child, I thought as a child.
I didn't understand what that scripture meant. And I've thought a lot about it since. And when the angel said that, it was peace, but it was peace between God and man. It was suddenly that man would be reconciled to God through Christ. Peace and goodwill toward men. Because the heavenly host and all them, now man had departed from God. They turned away the children of Israel. They had rejected Him and turned their hearts from Him. And only a precious few remained. And yet it is now they're saying, because of this Messiah, because of this child being born, not only will He be a blessing to Israel, but He'll be a blessing to all people, all nations and all tongues. And it makes me think about that at the end Jesus said, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and they'll know that He is Lord. Because a lot of people run around in this day and time and they want to say, prove it to me, show me this, how can you convince me of this? And yet it is that we have to come in faith believing. At one point in Jesus' ministry, He was at His own hometown. And He comes in and He tells them, a prophet is not without honor except in His own hometown. And He told them about instances in the Old Testament. He said that when Elijah went out, he was only sent to one particular woman to bless her, not to the nation. He said, and there were lots of lepers during that time, but it was only Naaman that got healed. And what Jesus' point was, is it's only the faithful, the ones that are looking for the consolation. Because like I said, you go just a few verses down from where we're at, and you'll find Simeon, and you'll find Anna, and you'll find them that they've been waiting diligently. They've been asking and seeking and knocking and looking for the consolation of the Lord. And then what does the Lord do? He reveals Himself to them. You see, without faith, God isn't going to reveal Himself to someone. And how much faith does it take? Well, that's been thoroughly covered as well. Small as a grain of a mustard seed. It doesn't take a whole lot. But this baby that was born this day, and these shepherds, they were told this, and they were given this, and essentially what was being said is, at last, the Savior has come into the world. And He's come to save men, women, and children, whosoever, from their sins. It's not an exclusive group of people, only those that will choose it. You see, choice is that wonderful thing that we have. And I've noticed that as a teacher, there are times when I have a lesson and I'll ask my students, I'll offer them a choice in how they want the lesson delivered. And they'll choose. And it seems like that just puts them in the best mood. They're on their best behavior. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I've noticed how people love choice. But you see, the problem is that sometimes people choose incorrectly. They don't choose the best choice for themselves. They choose what's easy or what seems easy. You know, and it's no different than the scripture that says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, and the end thereof is death. And there's a way that's good for men and women, and yet they don't choose it. And I can think of no more relevant scripture than there in Revelation 3:20, I believe it is, where Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hear my voice and open to me, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. And then the next scripture He says, and He'll sit with me on the throne. That He's going to give us the power to be like Him, to be with Him. But a lot of times people, they look around and everybody's okay with the baby in the manger. Everybody's perfectly fine with that. That seems harmless. That seems, that's all right. You know that there are lots of nativity scenes and things like that that we'll see out nowadays. Nobody has an issue with that. But they do have an issue with choosing the crucified Christ. You see, because this baby was going to grow up, live a life without sin, and be hanged on a cross and die for our sins.
It wasn't just his arrival that was salvation. That was just the first step. It wasn't just that he would live a life without sin in this world to prove that it could be done in the flesh if one were solely devoted to obedience to God. It wasn't just that, but it was that he willingly went to the cross, hung there, bled out his blood, and died for our sins. That's the whole point of it. And then who did he do that for? Whosoever. For all men. For who would receive it? Those that would look and say, I would like to have that. I can't tell you how often it is that in today's society, we look around and somebody will tell us some kind of good news and we're always cynical and skeptical about it. They'll run out and say, oh, they're giving away free things. They're doing this or they're doing that. And they'll say, what's the catch? And that cynicism is what causes a lot of people to say, I don't know, that whole Christian thing, that just don't hardly seem right to me. Seems too good to be true. And yet it is. And they say, well, what's this going to cost me? It's not going to cost you a thing. It costed him. Well, then why did he do it? Why would he do that? And yet it is in our society, if you went out or you got online or whatever you did and you went and bought presents for your family and you give them to them, there ain't a kid here this morning that won't pick a present up on Christmas Day or whenever it is that you choose to open it up and look at it and say, what's the catch? Why did you get me this? What are you up to? Mom, Dad, why did you decide to give me something nice? And me saying that seems absurd. Because that you know why they did it. It's because they love you. Then why did Jesus die for us? Because he loved us. He loved us even though we're unlovable. You know, one of the things, and any man that's ever been a father knows this feeling. Fathers get taken for granted a lot. We provide for without being asked. And I can only speak intelligently on being a father. I can't speak about being a mother, so forgive me this. But I was noticing with my own family the things that I do that they take for granted. And at times, it'll kind of sour your mood. It'll kind of make you feel like they don't appreciate me. But then the Lord gave me a new perspective, as He often does. He helped to unsour my mood. And I looked around and I said, I am so thankful that they can take for granted that they're going to get their next meal. They're not running around afraid and hoarding up food. They're not worried if the electric bill is going to get paid. They're not worried if they're going to have a roof over their head. I'm glad that I'm able to make it to where that they can take for granted what I've provided for them. And then the Lord said, and make sure that you rest comfortably in my salvation. Make sure that you know that it's sure, that you know it beyond the shadow of a doubt that what you have in Jesus Christ is firm and true, because we have an advocate with the Father, but we also have an adversary in the devil. And you know what he likes to do? He likes to bring up your past, doesn't he? Yeah, remember when you did this or that? Remember when you said this or that? Remember when you thought? I knew what you was thinking. And don't give more power to the devil than what he's due. He can't read your thoughts. But he's a student of human behavior. And he's all time wanting to bring up your past. Next time he starts doing that to you, you bring up his future. You tell him about the book of the Revelation, where that you know he's already beat. He's already defeated. That my past is done. His future is settled. My past is reconciled. Peace and goodwill toward men brought to you by Jesus Christ, the only one that could. Because let's turn to that precious scripture in John. And I'm going to read 13, 14, 15 and 16. He's talking to Nicodemus here, and he says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You notice he didn't say only the Jews. Only those that know their genealogy to be able to trace back to one of the original tribes of Israel. He didn't say only white people, or only black people, or whatever other attachment you want to put on. He said, whosoever will. He says, whosoever believeth. That's the most important thing. In verse 16, he says, for God so loved the world. You want to know why he did it? Right there tells you why. Because he loved the world. Because he loved us. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting light or life. You consider this for a moment, that what God has done is a complete work. It's finished. Jesus himself said that while hanging on the cross, tetelestai. It is finished. It's done. That was where that man was reconciled to God. And there was no longer to be enmity between man and God. But I can tell you this, there is a world out there that says whosoever would believe on him. So yes, it's open to everybody. And there is a doctrine floating around in this world where that they say, well, Jesus Christ died for everybody's sins. And so I really don't have to do or say anything. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything because it's not about works. It's about your faith. I can tell you this, you may be able to argue that. But there are also those that Jesus spoke about. And he said that at the last they would come to him and they would say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many mighty wonderful works in your name? Didn't we serve you diligently? And he would look at him and he would say, I don't know you. You work iniquity. Depart from me. And it's because that it's not just about that it's there and you don't have to do anything, because it says whosoever believes. And then, as my wife's grandfather told me one time, and I found it to be true. He said, a believer's a doer. You know what that means? When you believe, you'll do something. A believer is somebody that you'll find reading their Bible. You'll find praying. You'll find out at the church house. You'll find them that when they mess up, they'll repent. And they'll claim the blood. And they'll have it as a no-so sort of salvation. Not as just, man, I hope this is true. I hope that everything there in the Bible is what it says it is. Otherwise, I'm going to be in big trouble. The Bible isn't insurance. The Word of God isn't insurance. It's assurance. It's assurance that if we believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be saved. That's it. That baby in the manger, that was just the beginning. That I never want to preach about Bethlehem without talking about Calvary. Amen. Without talking about the cross of Christ. Because that baby in the manger alone does the world no good. But that crucified man on the cross saves us from our sins. We should, every Christmas, realize the gift that we've been given in the reconciliation of us to a holy God. A righteous God. In the Beatitudes, one of the things that Jesus said is, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That wasn't reserved for the merciful or the meek or those that were grieving, but the pure in heart. And I can tell you, you don't get a pure heart without Jesus Christ. You don't get there without him. That little baby in the manger would grow up to be a fully grown man, walking steps just like you or I would walk, facing things that you or I face. And yet he sinned not. He didn't even sin, didn't cry out, didn't curse at him or anything else while they were killing him. And then we look around and we find a world that says, yeah, but it's not really that big of a deal, is it? And all I can say is, heaven was bankrupted in order to provide us for salvation. The Son of the Most High came into this world and died for our sins. And all we have to do is believe. And yet some people find that so difficult. My, my, what a world we live in which that there's very little truth in the one thing that stood the test of time. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people can't believe that. And all I can tell you this morning is, it's your job to tell them. It's not your job to save them. It's not your job to drag them in. But it is your job to tell them. And you are commanded to do so. Thus saith the word of God, to compel them to come in. And I want you to ask yourself, if you're in a New Year's resolution, maybe resolve yourself to be more quick to tell people about Jesus Christ. Let's all stand and get a song. Thank you.